Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, September 18, 2008. It's at about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can email us at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I'll repeat that, 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. If you have been following the market recently, folks, you now know exactly what Andy has been talking about. The tremendous volatility in stocks, not only volatility, but the insolvency of our entire system and why it's important to protect yourself. Andy has a free newsletter that I believe is the very best in the business. It's objective. It's nonpartisan. He just talks about the facts. Andy's an economist, and he gives you great insight as to what is going on, and it's free. He also has a paid subscription. It's only, I think, $49 a year, and you can rely on him for personal advice and stuff like that. I mean, it's really terrific. I subscribe to both of them, would not do without it. And right now, with gold and silver finally going back on the rise, he was right. Just hold on to your seats, hold on to your pants. We're coming back. And he was absolutely correct. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, there are so many subjects that I would love to discuss, but before I do so, remember, please, if you are listening, do not be afraid to call 646-652-4620, especially if you disagree with me or you do not understand. This is not a radio network similar to Fox, where if someone comes in, calls in and is of a different political persuasion, they eat his lunch or make him feel like an idiot. We really need to educate one another. I learn as much from other people as they learn from me, probably more so. And I really would encourage people to call in. And if you're listening to a rebroadcast, please take the time out. Send me an email to comments@libertytalkradio.com or to area code 918-919-0101. The interchange is invaluable to the station. It's invaluable to our listeners as well. You would be performing a public service by asking a question, because we all will learn. Thank you. I want to talk about healthcare this morning, but before I do so, I would like just to touch on what's happening to the stock market. Now, this is Andy Sutton's purview, not mine, and I'm not going to steal his thunder because he knows more about it than I do, and you should really go to him for guidance. But for years now, so many of us have been screaming that there's something radically wrong with our financial system. It doesn't make any sense. Why is it that the Federal Reserve prints money, and for every dollar it prints, it issues a bond for the like amount with interest? Then the government has to pay the Federal Reserve for printing the money. Now, in order to pay for the money, we need to print more than $1. Just think of the logic behind this. A dollar is printed, but to pay for that dollar, we need to print more than $1. So by the virtue, if the Federal Reserve printed only $1, just $1, we would be in debt for more than $1. I know that doesn't make any sense, but of course we'd have to be in debt because we'd have to pay the dollar bond back, right? We issue a bond, plus interest on the bond, plus we have to pay a private organization, which is the Federal Reserve. It's just a private company owned by the Rothschilds, the Morgans, and the Warburgs, and all those people, all the money managers of the world own the Federal Reserve, and we pay them a check every day or every month or every week, however we do it. So for every dollar we print, we have to print more than a dollar. It is self-inflationary. So we keep on, we continue to debase the currency just by virtue of printing it. Now, the more we print, the more we have to, the more we owe on it. The more we owe on it, the more we have to print. I mean, this is a fool's game. I mean, anyone who studies how money is made realizes very, very quickly that this cannot possibly be sustained. Now, the federal government is in hock for over $10 trillion, and that's cash it's got to come up with, over $10 trillion. The United States will not dismantle its empire. In fact, Barack Obama, although he's sort of like the peace candidate, he doesn't want to dismantle the empire. He would just like to take some of our troops out of Iraq and maybe start a war with Iran or redeploy them, as they say, into Afghanistan. So we will continue this destructive mechanism. The only reason, in my opinion, that our economy is, quote, resilient, and I love that term because I don't know how an inanimate term becomes resilient. The economy is you and I. When I go to the store, if I elect to go to a store to buy something, I am, in fact, the economy. I decide what to buy, how much to pay, if I buy, or even if I get off my duff and go to the store in the first place, or start up my car, or decide to walk, or not use gasoline. That is the economy. The economy, I am not resilient, folks. I'm a human being, and I am not resilient. That's a silly word. But we say the economy, an inanimate term, is resilient. Well, let me say this about that, as JFK used to say, is that the reason why we haven't gone into full-scale recession and depression during this period of time is because we are a nation at war. And when you are at war, it is very difficult to go to a recession because the government keeps on pumping money, fake money, printing money that we have to pay more of at the end, into the economy for war goods. How do I know this? Well, I have an industrial health testing company. We go to companies which make steel plates, all sorts of metal stuff. You know, most of that's a good portion of our class of trade that we cater to. And we do industrial health testing because they're noisy plants. And they have to wear respirators and hearing testing and vision testing and all this other drug testing, all this stuff that we do. And I'll be honest with you, business is booming. And business is not booming because the consumer has any money. The consumer is broke. We're all broke. I mean, I have money and I don't spend it anymore. I mean, I'm more careful than I ever have been in my life, and I don't have to be for some reason. I guess it's psychological. You can imagine those people who are on the edge, and it's most of the people who are on the edge right now or close to it. They're not spending. So how could we be, quote, resilient? Well, we're not. It's that the government is resilient, if you want to use that word. And if the government being resilient, that means we're just going to be taxed for it later on. In other words, we're just delaying everything. And we're doing the same thing here with the economy. We are just delaying everything. We send out stimulus checks. Guess what happens, folks? That stimulus check has got to be paid back. That's not being resilient. That's just shoving it under the rug and hopefully it'll go away, which it'll never will. You know, it'll just rot and get worse underneath there. And that's exactly what's happening to our economy, folks. And we are having a real systemic problem, a tremendous systemic problem. That's why I urge you to go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. Read what he has to say and subscribe to his paid subscription letter, The Sensible Investor. It will give you an idea. And he doesn't scare the heck out of you. He just gives you the facts. Not like Sergeant Joe Friday would say, nothing but the facts, ma'am, nothing but the facts. And that's why he's so good. Anyway, we are in very, very difficult times. The price of gold yesterday went up near $90, and the price of silver went up a dollar. And this morning, this futures, silver is up $1.25, and gold is up another $35, somewhere around there. Those are phenomenal moves. In other words, gold and silver, in if it continues going like this for a couple of days, will make back all its losses in less than a week of losses of 2 months. And that's because people are being frightened. People are saying, well, maybe the U.S. dollar isn't all that good. The euro, although it's in big trouble, Europe is in recession right now. The euro is in deep doo-doo at this point. And yet the dollar was gaining on the euro. And it wasn't the fact that the dollar got stronger. Is it that the euro got so much, so incredibly weaker? It, as the American Institute of Economic Research said when it gave a white paper on the different currencies, it says right now the U.S. dollar is the world's tallest dwarf. I mean, those words should chill you. Inflation worldwide is running 12% or more. The only country that is not experiencing hyperinflation right now, real, and that's from the M3 money supply, the amount of money that's being injected into the system total, to the banking system, digital money and all that, and ours is somewhere around 11.6%, is Switzerland, which is 2.6%. Well, they're not at war. You know, they're hard, basically, no, they're not a hard currency, they're fiat currency. And, you know, everything is sort of keeping the same. And it's 2.6%, which is still a little high, believe it or not. But the rest of the world is between 12% and 25%. The Russian stock market is now plummeted 50% from its high. The Chinese, the China index exchange is down 62% from its high. I used to own a lot of money in China. I had a lot of money in China. And I pulled it out. I lost a lot of money, but I pulled it out, and I would have lost a lot more. I mean, they're all down tremendously. The S&P here is down, 25% in the past year? And the Dow Jones is down just 20% this year alone. Folks, we have not seen the end of this, obviously, because they're still running around like chickens with their head cut off. Now, no one wants to recognize really what the problem is. The problem is we have a Federal Reserve, which has got to go. We have a money system, which is based on debt, which is a poor foundation. And we need to get a currency which is produced by our government, not a cabal like the Federal Reserve, and based on something, based on the amount of money, based on the gross domestic product. If it's down, the money contracts. If it goes up, the money goes up slightly. So there's no real inflation. Inflation should be zero. So when you have money in the bank and you're getting 3% on your money, you know your money is growing at 3%. Not 3%, but minus 2% after inflation. All right. Okay. Enough said about that. I'm really hot about that because I've been talking about that for years with friends, at least not on the radio station. But I think we're going to see a combination of this. Now, I want to talk about healthcare. The reason why we're not going to have an extensive talk about healthcare, but I'd like to throw out just a few thoughts for people to ponder, because I get hit with this healthcare business all the time. And how can I be against universal health care in a different system that we have now? Let me remind our folks that this is a talk radio program, and I hate doing all the talking. So please call in 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. I know it's early in the morning. Wake me up. Please call in. Thank you very much. Okay. We have a fundamental problem with the healthcare system, as we have a fundamental problem with our monetary system. Now, when I say fundamental problem, we have to recognize what the fundamental problem is, solve the fundamental problem, so we can go on. But we never do that. We have a fundamental problem, and we exasperate things. Let me give you an idea. Just an example. It has nothing to do with healthcare. You know, consumer spending is down, so what the government does is prints more money. People get the money. A certain portion of it, not all of it, but a certain portion of it, actually a minority of it, goes into, you know, spending, so consumer spending is up, right? Did we solve the fundamental problem? No, absolutely not. Now we exasperated the situation because we printed money, it went to nowhere, and now our debt is higher by another $150 billion. So now we exasperated the problem. But our politician says, oh, we try to help the economy. Well, see, we don't solve the fundamental problem. Healthcare, folks, healthcare is not a right. Understand that healthcare is not a right. Healthcare is a service. It's no different than your local auto mechanic. You go there, you negotiate with the person, you know, my fan belt is squeaking, I need it fixed, you know, how much does it cost? And you have a one-on-one relationship with your auto mechanic. And healthcare is no different. Now, my socialist friends will direct me to a book, and I'm sorry, I don't have the author's name, but it's called What Would Jefferson Do? And I haven't finished the book because I'm finding it difficult. It's a very good book, but his premise is wrong. He said there are three commons. He says we have a common. We have rights to those commons. We have a right to water, air, which I have to agree. We have, you know, no one should take our air away from us and sell it to us. Water, same thing, but we have to buy our water, unfortunately, is two, right? And three is healthcare. Now, when we think that way, we're thinking screwy. You say, well, Joe, what's the matter with that? Is, you know, healthcare is very important. Well, if you look at the hierarchy of needs, you know, air is number one, obviously, because in a matter of seconds, without air, we die. Without water, in a matter of a couple of days, we die, right? And what comes after water? It's not healthcare, right? It's food. Food becomes a common. But the socialist just very tactfully neglect that. They say, well, we'll go from water to healthcare. Now, it sounds good, but if we would only think for a moment. Now, if we can do without healthcare, even if we're ill, longer than, with rare exception, longer than we can go without food. If we went without food for 10 days, we die, right? So it's got to be a common. Now, what comes after food? Shelter. If we were out in the elements and had no way to protect ourselves, and I mean out in the elements, no tent, no nothing, right? After a while, we would shiver to death, we would burn up in the sun, we would do something, right? So it is more imperative, without shelter, you can't have health care. So really the way it should go, if in fact you subscribe to the fact that healthcare is a common and not a privilege, not a service, but a right, you would have air, water, food, shelter, and then healthcare. Well, the Social Democrats tactfully, almost tactfully, neglect the fact that food and shelter are commons. I mean, if you use that description, I don't subscribe to that, obviously. And they go right to healthcare. Well, you can't do that. Now, if healthcare is a common, then food and shelter should. In other words, then the government should supply us with all the housing and with all our food. Now, what does that sound like to you, folks? What is that? If you get your water free, you get your, which probably should be, but your water free, but someone's got to perform the service. I mean, somehow, someone's got to lay the pipe and purify the water. There's a cost to that. Someone's got to supply you with the food. You know, someone's got to grow it. There's got to be the futures market to determine pricing and whatever. All that complicated stuff. All we go to do is we go to the supermarket and we get a loaf of bread and we think, well, I get my bread from the supermarket. No, you don't. You get your bread from all over the world. Maybe the combine that used that picked up the wheat really came from a machine that was purchased in Japan. I mean, it's a world. Even our food is a worldwide commodity. Very complex. But we say, oh, the government's going to take care of it. Could you imagine if the government started taking care of all our food? We would starve to death. A loaf of bread would be $40. We would be begging. The shelves would be empty. Now, we all know that. Look at all the socialist countries. Look what happened to Russia. You'd go to a store and there would be nothing on the shelves. Because the government took care of the food supply. And they'll say, well, our government is more efficient. Our government is less efficient. Our government has never done anything efficiently, except kill people. We do that very well. I have to admit, we kill people very efficiently. We probably kill more people. Well, it's a little bit more expensive, though. I mean, our cost per person that we kill is probably the highest in the world. But we're very efficient at it. Kind of expensive, but we're high quality killers. and then our government does well. I'll have to backtrack on that. So here we have a situation where health care is considered a common. Health care is considered a right according to Hitler. Hillary. It's wrong. It sounds good. It's wrong thinking. And if you disagree with me, it's 746-652-4620 or 918-919-0101 or comments at libertytalkradio.com. Now, we have no, they say, well, the free market hasn't worked. We have not had a free market in healthcare in 70 years. The government took over healthcare a long time ago. We have, now, if you want to compare our healthcare system efficiency to Europe, for Europe that has a one-payer system, ours is more expensive and more cumbersome. Is it more expensive and more cumbersome because we have a free market healthcare? Absolutely not. We have a more cumbersome healthcare system because we have government involved in tweaking or assisting or overshadowing a system which should be free market, which it's not. And as a result, we have the most cumbersome healthcare system. But with that, we still have people coming from all over the world for healthcare. We still have people coming here all over the world for healthcare. We have more people coming here than we have people going out. I was watching a video. I was forced to watch the video Sicko by Michael Moore. Now, I only had time to watch half of it. I had real problems with just watching half of it because all of the information is anecdotal. And when I say that, what I mean is they have an individual incident where a person had a problem with their health care. And I do not question what they're saying is absolutely correct. I'm not calling them the shaving the truth. They're absolutely correct. Number one, we do not know the full story behind each one of these cases. But it's a possibility and a good possibility that what they're saying, there is no more to say. I mean, what they're saying is what happened. Here's my problem with Sicko, is that we are looking at the fundamental problem and we are trying to solve the problem without solving the fundamental problem, like I said in the beginning. For example, who is the customer in a government-paid system? Who is the customer? For example, my wife said something very profound the other day, and I tell you, every once in a while she says something, it just floors me. She said, the reason why the government does not cater to the citizens and the citizens' rights and this liberties, because we're not the government's customer. The lobbyists are the customers. Industry is the customer because that's who puts them in office and that's where they get their money. And she's absolutely right. The only time we become the customer and government becomes very accessible to us is right before we vote. Then you'll have someone running for president who very well may be president, more than willing to come in our living room, sit down and chat with us. As soon as that person is in office, if we write that person a letter, we get a form letter back saying, you know, thank you very much. We'll look into it. Now go to hell. Drop dead. Don't ever call again. We don't give a damn. And there's secret police all around them where you can't get 5 miles close to this person because we are not the customer. Now, who's the customer in healthcare? Think about it. Right now, when I go to a customer, let me give you an example. And this is what really hacked me off. And we only have 4 more minutes to go, and I'll make this quick. I went to a doctor because I had carpal tunnel syndrome and calcium in my thumb. I mean, it doesn't hurt normally, but I cannot flex it all the way. I play the drums, and it doesn't hurt me to play the drums. I don't have as much power in my left hand because I can't grip the drumstick as well. But I do fine. I mean, I don't play drums very well, but I mean, my hands don't hurt. And I went to him 3 times already. And he said, well, you can either operate. So I asked him about the operation. He says, very painful, very long. You'll be out for several weeks. Blim, bada, bang, bada, bang. And he says, you have a little neuropathy in there. He says, that won't solve that. Blim, bada, bang. And he says, make a decision. So I said, no, doc. I said, it's really not worth it. I've been through operations before. I said, I've had knee operations, et cetera. I said, you know, they're a long time in coming, and sometimes the results are not very good. He said, fine. He says, let me see you in 3 months. I said, I don't know why, but okay, I see you. So I saw him in 3 months. And then he said the same thing. He said, well, how do you feel? I said, well, actually, my thumb is stronger. He says, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. He says, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. I said, well, I play drums. And I said, I've been practicing a lot. And he's strong. He says, no, it's not. Well, I said, don't tell me that I cannot grab something, you know, a little bit more efficiently than before. I can't. This guy was the snottiest SOB in the world. I mean, I'm just not giving a diagnosis. I'm just saying it is a little stronger just because I've been doing exercises, basically because I've been doing a lot of exercises with my drumsticks, as well as other exercises. He says, no. I said, well, I don't want the operation. He says, good, see me in 3 months. I said, I don't know why he wants to see me in 3 months. So I said, well, you know, I obey the doctor. I'm an idiot. I go see the doctor in 3 months. This is what happened. I swear this is exactly what happened. The door opens to the exam room that I'm sitting in. And he is speaking. He's already in the middle of a sentence. I didn't think he was talking to me. I thought he was speaking to someone out in the hall. So he sits down. He says, well? I said, well, what? He said, I just asked you a question. I said, you're talking to me? He said, yes. Well, the reason why he started talking is because it saved him time. He wanted me the hell out of there. And it really hacked me off. So I said, well, what do you want? I said, what's the question? He asked, repeated the question. He was very annoyed at this point. I said, no. I said, it's still about the same. I said, I'm not having a problem. He said, he explained the situation all over again, which I already knew. He said, you know, there's nothing I can do about the muscle there. It's degenerating, blah, 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 because carpal tunnel syndrome. I said, I know that, but I don't think it's worth it. He says, well, I said, well, what about my right hand? He says, I'm not talking about your right hand. I'm talking about your left hand. I said, well, I have a little neuropathy sometime left hand. He says, we're not talking about your right hand. We're talking about your left hand. And with that, he signed a piece of paper and he walked out. I was in there less than 5 minutes, maybe less than 3 minutes. I said, well, you know, that's the way he is. You know, he can go to hell and drop dead for all I care. So I walk out and I you know, to pay the lady and the cashier. And she said, oh, there's no charges on the Medicare and secondary. We'll handle it. I said, well, no, they don't, because it's, I got a high deductible. It'd be millions of dollars before I, you know, I have to pay for it. I said, there's nothing here. She says, no, you don't have to pay anything. So I look at the bill, $181.50. Here's the problem. I'm not the customer. You see, if I was a customer, folks, what would have happened if there was no healthcare, if this was free enterprise, I would say, do you want to see me again, doc? Why? How much will it cost? Because I'd be very conscious of that, because I'm paying for it. Now, I wasn't conscious of it because I'm on Medicare. So I said, how much will it cost? What are you going to see me again? How much are you going to charge me? I don't think so. I would have paid gladly $35 for that. No, I would not have paid $35 for that visit because it accomplished nothing and he was a snotty bastard. And I'm never going to him again. But who do I complain to? I can't go complain to the doctor. He's seeing a patient. They won't let me see him. And if I complain to him, he'll say, get out of here before I call the police. Who do I go to Medicare and say, don't pay the bill? I wouldn't even know who to go to. Medicare say, sorry, he saw this and he's diagnosed that. He's eligible for $181.50. Well, let me tell you how much I'm going to pay now. I'm going to pay the copay, I think, of 20%, which is about $35. Plus, I have Medicare that I pay $145 a month, which is cheap, I admit, $145 a month. Plus, I have my secondary, which is $250 a month. So already there's $435, about $430 a month that I'm paying for the stupid visit that actually was absolutely worthless. Now, that's our free healthcare system. Folks, we have to find out what the fundamental problem is. And the fundamental problem is that I am not the customer. And that's why healthcare costs will continue going up. He makes about $1,000 an hour based on my visit. About $1,000 an hour. That's what I calculated. If he did the same thing to me as he do to everyone else. Now, that's $8,000 a day for a doctor to come in and say, yeah, your thumb is no good. I could have told you that, you creep. So here we are. The healthcare system gets stuck with this hellacious bill for nothing. And this is a nothing visit. But he did absolutely nothing but sat down and argued with me for about 3 minutes. And it's a hellacious bill. Now, is it free? Hell no, it's not free. The taxpayer's paying for it. Now, remember, I'm not paying for this. I'm only paying a portion. But I'm also paying a portion of the next person who's coming in and arguing about their foot. and having the same conversation. Now, what SITGO does not address is the fact that what cost health care? In fact, that's what I should have titled this, what cost health care? And Medicaid is going out of business. In 2 years, we're going to be totally bankrupt in Medicare. I probably won't be able to get it anymore because they won't be able to afford to pay the doctors anymore. I'm going to be screwed, and so will everyone else. Now you say, well, then we should go to a free healthcare system like they have in Europe. First of all, it's not free. If you have $100, you only take $30 home. How would you like that? And you have free healthcare? You don't have free healthcare. And all the socialist countries are looking to get out of it because they can no longer afford it. They are all going bankrupt. And now with the recession in the European Union, and they're in a deep recession in the European Union, they are taking in less money. People are aging. They are needing more health care. The European Union is going bankrupt. Now, is that as a self-sustaining business? Hell no, it's not. So we need to look very closely at what is the fundamental problem, and can the free market system fix it? And in this case, absolutely yes. You say, what about those people who can't afford it? Well, for those people who cannot afford it, first of all, healthcare, if it was truly free market, would be one-third to one-quarter the cost of what it is today. Insurance would be affordable for most people because you're not paying this $181.50 for an absolutely worthless visit to a doctor just because he wants to make, you know, he's like, I'll see you again. I said, no, you won't. Go to hell, drop dead, and do me a favor. In fact, I told him, I said, I don't want to be too rough with him. I said, you know, you're tough. He says, no, I'm honest. I said, no, you're just tough, not honest. You're as dishonest as anyone else I've ever met. And I will never go back to him again. If I have to suffer with my thumb, I'll suffer my thumb. He's not getting my business anymore. And that's the way we should be. We should be the customer, not the government. Now, we want everyone to be on that system. Everyone on that system? Just think of what the cost would be. So if your take-home pay right now, if you're taking home, let's say, $4,000 a month, you'll be taking home $3,000 a month, and that'll be your free health care. Now, for those people who are so unfortunate that they don't have any money, there would be, and there are charitable organizations that handle that. Because it will be people helping people and not the government, because you are the customer. Now, if you want an antidote to SITGO, let me give you one of an employee who works for me. Very, very poor kid. He just came on to, he just was working for me for, I don't know, just a few months. I mean, just a short period of time. Poor, poor, poor. I mean, so poor. I gave him a little refrigerator. He says, I can't put it anywhere because the floor in my house, if you will, can't support it. And we're talking about a 5-pound refrigerator, one of those little dorm refrigerators. He had no floor. I mean, he was living like poor Chinese were living. He's a wonderful kid. And now he's doing pretty well for himself. He makes a good salary with me. You know, I help him every way I can. I basically have adopted the kid. He's a wonderful one. I'd do anything in the world. Anything I would do for my own sons and my own family, I would do for him. Because I'm a mean, no damn good employer. And I don't care. And I'll kick him out in the street, right? Because that's what Barack Obama wants you to believe. All right, so this is what happened to him. They had an old car that they tried to start. This is several years ago. He was pouring gasoline in the carburetor. And the metal hit metal, created a spark, blew up, and burnt his entire body. He was lucky his face was spared. When I went to the hospital to see him, I thought he was dead. He was all wrapped up. He had first-degree burns all over his body. His blood pressure was 18 over something or other. They didn't think he was going to live. He survived. He had no insurance. He had nothing. And they gave him, I believe it was St. Francis Hospital here in Tulsa, wonderful hospital. They gave him first-class treatment. At the end, he says, I will pay you till the day that I die. He says, I will pay you what I can. I'll start with $50 a month. And they showed him how much he made. And religiously, he made payments of $50 a month. He did that for about 3 or 4 years, and then they sent him a letter. And they said, we want to thank you for your attempts to pay your bill. We have decided to write off the remainder. You no longer owe us any money. Now, that's real. I can verify that if you, that's the truth. I'm not making that up. Now, that portion was not in Sitco. Now, I have a problem. Now, that's, again, you can say this is just anecdotal information saying how wonderful our healthcare system. And I'm not saying our healthcare system's wonderful. I'm saying it sucks. It is terrible. It's probably the worst in the world. Healthcare is probably the best in the world. The system is probably the worst in the world. Understand that. So here we have a system that's horrible that really worked. So if we want to make a anti-sicko DVD, we can start doing that. Get all this anecdotal information, put it together and say, see, that proves that sicko is wrong. And it doesn't. It doesn't negate any of the stories that are being told in sicko and that people who died because of lack of health care. And it's not the health care, it's the system. And we have to solve the fundamental problem. And the fundamental problem is government health care. Every time the government gets involved in health care, every time they initiate something, the prices of everything goes up. It never goes down. It goes up. Look at the graphs. The price of everything goes up. And who makes from government assisted health care? All the large lobbying companies that lobby. They say, well, see how mean they are? They're not mean. They're doing their job, folks. If you have a company and you want to make money, you lobby in Washington. The one that's not doing the job is the people that we vote into office. Are those people, the fundamental problem there, is that the people that are in office should be saying, no, I'm not taking your money. I'm going to expose you guys for who you are. You know, get the hell out of my office, you know, and I'll ruin you if you come back here one more time. But no, these are the people that are supposed to be looking, taking care of us, because we're the customer. We're not the customer. You see, we, the lobbyists, are the customers. You know, we are just the victims. And when we realize that, we'll realize that universal health care and every other government program is, in fact, the problem, because we are no longer the customer. And we lose total control over our lives. And we want to know why we feel so helpless. Folks, I'll say this again. I know you're probably tired. For those of you who are listening, I'm probably real tired of listening. We have to solve the fundamental problem. And we're not doing it. John McCain and Barack Obama are not solving the fundamental problem. We have a war on terror. And to arrest that problem, we are not looking at what the fundamental problem of terrorism is that we are bombing the bejesus out of everybody around the world. We are killing people, propping up dictators under the point of gun. And people have had it. They're sick of it. They're sick of the empire telling them how to live their lives in their poor little country. And there's a hatred building up. And that creates terrorism. There's your fundamental problem. But we won't say that because, you know, if you are a good American, if you are really, really, because what I just said is un-American, you know, and you commie, I'm a commie man. No, if you don't want to think, then you keep on thinking the way the politicians want you to think. I hope I got my point across. Unfortunately, we had no calls this morning. I don't anticipate calls early in the morning, but I surely wish I'd have some of them. I'm going to be affiliated very soon with another network. And that other network will broaden the reach of this program substantially. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm very proud that there are four networks who want to pick me up. And it just takes time to get the scheduling arranged so they can squeeze me in and stuff like that. I can't wait. And I only say that, I'm doing this for myself, basically, more than anything else. I just do this. I don't get paid for it. Everything out of my own pocket and the whole bit. At the end where I say, we like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, because that's my wife's audiology practice, of which I'm an owner. And, you know, they pay a couple of incidental things, and I give them some press. And that's about it. And I'm talking about pennies, a couple of dollars a month. But the rest comes out of my own pocket. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that I do this. There's nothing for it other than it's a radio program. And we are so fortunate that I can broadcast the same way as any other major broadcast network. I can broadcast around the world just like everyone else does, from my little studio, you know, at my cost, and with the possibility of having a reach and a customer base as much as ABC, NBC, or CBS. And I think that motivates me to go on. Now, I'm going to find a way to get on all four networks. I would love that, and that means I need a bank of computers, a bank of phone calls, and I'll need people in the back room that will have to be taking the calls and then, you know, writing the questions down, and I'd love to do that. I want to get to that point. I want to expand this network, I mean this broadcast. And in the next 3 months, it will be that way, and I'm really excited about it. Well, anyway, I think I'm going to shut up at this point. I hope I made my point. Please send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please, anyone, comments@libertytalkradio.com. I promise I'll be nice to you, even if you wholeheartedly disagree. And I'm sure many of you will, because you'll all have stories of how you couldn't get someone you know, or someone you loved, a family member could not get health care. As a result, they got sicker, or they even died because they didn't have access to health care. But I want you to look at the fundamental problem, folks. Okay? Look at the fundamental problem and not the proposed solution. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. That's the free life. Folks, embrace it. The government is like training wheels. That's no fun. They prop you up, but you never learn to ride the motorcycle. You are never free and are never liberated. Interesting analogy. That's my own, by the way. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, folks! The government hates competition." How true that is. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.